Our scripture reading for today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I feel like I stick out like a sore thumb. That's what he said to me. We were standing in a large marketplace of about 300 people. I feel like I stick out like a sore thumb, and he was kind of right. We were over in Jerusalem. I was on a trip to Israel years ago, and it was a pastor from the Apache Indian Reservation that was with me, Pastor Gary Lupe, and he has a very pronounced Native American look to him. And as we were sitting there having lunch together in this marketplace, many people going by, most of whom looked somewhat like me, it was very obvious that he was different, and he was getting a lot of looks from different people as they walked by. And he said, I really feel out of place here. I feel kind of uncomfortable here. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, you know, Gary, I feel a lot closer to you than anybody else in this place. It has nothing to do with how we look. It has to do with the faith that's inside of us. There's a wonderful unity that comes from being united in Christ and loving his word together and cherishing that word. It crosses so many different types of boundaries that otherwise tend to separate human beings from each other. Seminarians who are going to go off to calls in the future will find that as a new pastor, even a vicar, when you go to a congregation, the warmth that you are received with initially is just amazing. The love and response that you'll get from a congregation is always so fun. There's just this immediate embracing of unity and an appreciation for those who will bring the gospel of good tidings to them. Years ago, when my daughter was about 7 years old, she said to me one day, kind of puzzled, Dad, how do people who don't go to church make any friends? Because in her world and life, that's where all of our friends were. That's where she found such love from everybody. So this unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that St. Paul is referring to in our text is a very real thing. And it's a very comforting thing. It's something that Christians enjoy and appreciate together. And St. Paul, especially writing from a prison cell, and especially having faced such hostility against the gospel, and hostility directly against him, had a tremendous appreciation for this unity that is shared by Christians around the world. And also, especially at that time when the early church was probably so small and there were so few to support each other. Now, that unity that Christians have in Christ is not something that is naturally in us. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Ever since the fall into sin, and you can see it right away in our first parents and then their children, there is a disunity that is natural inside of us because of sin. St. Paul even writes, you were once darkness in the next chapter. And that's true of all of us. Inside of us, there's a natural disunity that is connected back to that original sin that's inside of all of us. And it breathes itself through our entire culture. We like to divide ourselves in a variety of different ways and separate ourselves from each other in a number of different ways. And that tendency to be divisive, that tendency to have disunity, still lurks even now inside of the hearts of those who belong to Christ. But when he created his holy Christian church in the world, God did not send out a variety of teachings and a variety of spirits. He didn't send out a variety of different paths and ways to know him. Rather, listen to again what Paul says. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the same Holy Spirit that goes out through word and sacrament in the world creates the same faith wherever he touches a person's heart, creates the same love for the same Savior, the same forgiveness that takes us back to the same cross and the same empty grave and directs us to the same eternal home in heaven. And if you look at letters that were written to early Christians back in the first 3 or 4 centuries, it's amazing how relevant they are for today. You could just pick them up and read them in your congregation today. They sound like they're dealing with the same kinds of issues, same kind of concerns that are on their heart. On a Sunday morning, in congregations around the world, if you were to suddenly stop and analyze everybody sitting there worshiping on the basis of their socioeconomic status or different ways of looking at them, you'd find that they come from a variety of places and occupations and backgrounds. An author recently, Gene Veith, writes this. Listen to what he says. In the church, people of all cultures and stations are unified with each other because of their common relationship to Christ. He says, for all the postmodernists say about multiculturalism, the universal church spread throughout history and throughout the globe is the one true multicultural institution. That's a great observation. You want to see multiculturalism? Go sit in a Christian sanctuary all around the world. How amazing it is that the same water blessed with Christ's words, the same bread and wine blessed with Christ's words, the same work of repentance that goes on down inside of a person's heart when they realize their sin, the same word of absolution and forgiveness and grace gets spread all around the world in a variety of different languages. And yet it's all based in this one unifying love that comes from one source, God the Father. Have you ever noticed how Christians, we love it when we see somebody else who is struck down with their guilt of their sin, comforted with the grace of Christ? Have you ever noticed how that we all just cherish that? We love to see that when that happens in someone. We love to hear that another sinner has maybe been converted into the church. We just appreciate it, enjoy it, and we all remember how that same thing happens inside of our hearts and how God brought us into that same wonderful union with him as well. Later on in this chapter, Paul keeps building on this theme, and he talks about how Christ is the head of the body and that we are members of his church. About 15 years ago, there was an amazing display that was going around the United States. I think it was called Body Works, the Body Works exhibit. And they actually had taken human bodies that were donated to science after the person died, obviously, and had plasticized these bodies in a way that, and then actually cut them apart so you could go and observe things about the body. Tremendous lesson in anatomy. But I remember as I was in this exhibit, and it was about from here to the back of the chapel, I saw this glowing, it looked like a Spider-Man outfit, glowing red man standing about that far away from me. And as I got up to it, I realized it was part of this exhibit, and they had done a way of showing all of the different blood arteries and capillaries in the body. It was just absolutely amazing how much blood was inside of the human body. And I looked it up, and it's 6 to 8 quarts that is circulating inside of your body. They claim that because of your heart pumping, that blood goes around in your body as much as possibly 12,000 miles per day. Just think of that. In the Holy Christian Church, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses every one of us from all sin, is what is circulating throughout the entire Christian church of believers that continues to take away our sins and remove that blood from the body of Christ, and the church dies. What a precious thing it is that we have in our Lord's sacrificial death for us. God would have us simply stand in amazement that purely by his grace, he has made you and me members of this wonderful body of Christ. What a blessing it is. Think what we have in front of us because of that. Think what your future holds because of that. Think what a privilege it is that out of all the people that have lived in the world, God, for no reason in you or me, has chosen to work this faith in our hearts and bring us to faith in this wonderful Savior. So when we contemplate that, listen again to the words of Paul. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Who will you be sitting next to at the feast of salvation in heaven? Amen.